Hello everyone, my name is Sonia Koenig and I'm with the Michigan State Center for Community and Economic Development, and today I'm hosting our new podcast series, Transforming Tomorrow Together. Today I'm joined by our Domecology Research Assistant, Jayla Simon. She's going to talk a little bit about the Michigan Applied Public Policy Research Project, also known as the MAPR Project, that she's been working on. So welcome, Jayla.
Thank you.
So if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, why you decided to work here at the center, and just some things that you are involved in here.
So Jayla Simon here. Hello. I started working at the center about like a year and a half ago now. It's been a while. And this MAPR project was something that I started about last year sometime. I don't know. It's been quite a while. Something we've been working on. But I originally started working here in kind of a unique way. I was a part of the Sunrise organization, Sunrise Movement, the hub here at MSU campus. And I was speaking on behalf of the organization about divesting from fossil fuels. So I was really interested in kind of sustainable investments and how MSU was using their endowment. And Dr. Lamore, the director of the center, happened to also be working with sustainable investing at that time. So I started working here originally with what we called the USWIG, which was the University Sustainable Working or Sustainable Investment Working Group, which was made up of some faculty and students. And we did a report on that, trying to align MSU better with the higher ranked schools in ASHI, which is stands for the Association for the Advancement of Sustainable and Higher Education. So worked with that. And when we talked about how we could align with other schools, a lot of that had to do with the research that we were doing and the research centers like U of M has kind of a broader research on sustainability than MSU does. And so we were looking more into that, which led me into kind of the center's baby, which is domecology, a term that was coined by Dr. Lamore in 2015. And domecology is the study of structural life cycles. So it has to do a lot with material salvage and alternatives to demolition to kind of tackle the issues of structural abandonment and blight. So that led me into that whole journey. And then I started working with the circular economy team, which our main goal since I've been working here up until now has been trying to pass some legislation to get yearly funding to create the Circular Economy Institute. Working with that, tagged on to our bill, the Senate Bill 704, which is retired now. It's new cycle, so we're going to reintroduce it soon. But basically, in the heart of that bill is tacked on an increase of disposal surcharges. It's not necessary for the establishment of our institute, but it was added on into that bill. And so that led me into the MAPR project, which has to do with increasing disposal surcharges and what would that do. So some background, Governor Whitmer proposed to increase the disposal surcharge from 36 cents to I think $1 or something like that was her proposal. And there's been proposals in the past with Rick Snyder in 2018. I think his was the first proposal, and then Whitmer. And so we took that opportunity to talk about it. And so basically we just wrote a grant wrote a grant proposal and got the funding. And our angle was to get public opinion using survey about disposal surcharges and increasing them. And our take was trying to go on the main argument point of a lot of legislators, which is that the importation of waste in Michigan, which is a lot, our waste stream is something like, it's in the report, let me check. So over 22% of Michigan's trash actually is imported, and most of that trash is from Canada. So, and then also double with that at the same time, the disposal surcharge, which is the kind of added on fee to disposal, the tipping fees already paid. So it's what the landfills are paying to the state. So it's a state fee. So not every state has a disposal surcharge. Most in the Great Lakes region do, and ours is 36 cents.
if you're comparing the Michigan to all the other Midwestern states, what is our how does our price compare to their
Yeah,
charges?
that's a great question. So, as I mentioned before, we were kind of trying to focus on the argument of the correlation between the high percentage of our waste that's imported and our disposal surcharge. So that argument comes from the fact that Michigan is the lowest disposal surcharge in the Great Lakes region by far. The average disposal surcharge for the Great Lakes region is $5.36. And ours is just 36 cents. So it's a very big difference. And we are also the most like imported to state that is also in the Great Lakes region. So that correlation there is like a big talking point for a lot of legislators and for Governor Whitmer specifically. And so we wanted to kind of just learn more about that correlation and understand to see to understand if the public understood that correlation and if they would be willing to raise the disposal surcharge if that meant our waste stream was less imported, because we were to assume that the public interest is that we don't want other people's waste, because we like that
Yeah.
makes our recycling job a lot harder as citizens. So that was kind of the origin story of the policy brief that is now completed.
What did you find within that, policy paper? How did the writing go for that, the research process go for that? What was that whole process like?
Yeah, so I could just kind of run you through it. We asked more than we wanted to, like what more than what we needed to know. About the disposal surcharges, it kind of got turned into more of a general survey on the recycling behaviors and attitudes of the public. So behaviors and attitudes are like our main keywords of what we were looking for. So we asked general questions of what is your just general attitude towards recycling? And then what are your behaviors of recycling? Like, do you recycle, basically? So we asked like those big general questions, and then we led into specific questions of, do you support the importation of Canadian waste into Michigan? And then do you support an increase in the disposal surcharge? And then we asked, if it decreased the importation of waste, would you support the surcharge? And then,
Those questions then related to attitude, and if they said yes,
yes.
no.
So we kind of wanted to find trends along the lines of those general questions. So let me just pull out some notes here so I can tell you kind of like the general ideas of what we understood with the general questions. So we found that what was interesting and kind of led us to our correlation ultimately was that the top six attitudes all related to consumers wanting more support from manufacturers or the community in recycling. So the attitude towards recycling was majority positive. And what we mean by positive, according to the data, is that they like recycling and they believe recycling is important. Majority felt that way. But also majority, according to the top six responses of attitudes, felt that the responsibility landed on manufacturers and there needed to be more community and manufacturer support.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
So this is kind of going into this new policy world of extended producer responsibility and a push for this in the Michigan legislature, but also in other states and the federal level. What are your thoughts on that? And do you
Yeah.
think that this would help with what you found in the survey?
Yeah, so to our surprise, I think the data from this policy brief is going to be much more useful in the future of research on EPR bills and extended producer responsibility than it would be for passing the disposal surcharge increase. And what the reason I say that is a mixture between of those responses of wanting more support in recycling. Coupled with the fact that we also found that the other option, so people who said that what would help you recycle more was one of the questions. And not a lot of people selected, I think it was less than 5%, selected the other option, which was a write-in. But those who did all said a core a an alternative of whether they're feeling that nothing actually gets recycled, which is like a feeling of like apathy that we felt. So a lot of people like felt like they wanted to recycle, but were having trouble with the support. So that those two things, and then the big kicker that was additionally coupled with that was the discrepancy that we found was it was a larger than 20% discrepancy in responses when asking about the support for the surcharge. And what I mean by that is we asked two different questions. I was getting into this earlier, but asking two different like questions about the increase. So first we just asked, do you support an increase? Well, we asked, do you support importation? And it was resounding no. But then we asked, do you support an increase? And that was also not resounding, but most people said no. So they didn't support an increase, which makes sense when you think about it, because although the landfills pay this fee, pay the surcharge, it falls onto the taxpayer in most cases when they're, especially when it's a publicly funded landfill, who's paying for that landfill to run? We are. And so in turn, we pay that disposal surcharge. So that makes sense. But then we asked, would you support a disposal surcharge increase if it meant the importation was reduced? And it was the majority answered no, but not by that much. I think it was 41% said no, and then 28% said yes, and 30% said, I'm not sure. And that large percentage of I'm not sure was like, ding, 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 that means something to me. Because they also were all saying with the EPR things of we need more manufacturer support. And the number one manufacturer support answer selected was written guidance on recycling, recyclable materials. And then the second most responded one was just more recyclable materials, like make these products more recyclable, or write the guidance of how I can recycle these materials. So that I'm not sure, coupled with those answers, were kind of giving me a vibe of like the lack of knowledge about recycling.
Yes.
Is leading this. And then to even further that point, when we asked, would you support an increase in the surcharge if it meant that that money that was that increase in money that the government had went towards zero waste policies or zero waste initiatives? And we specified it not anymore beyond just zero waste initiatives. So just in general, going towards helping less waste in our waste stream. And that answer was actually 50% yes, they would. 50% yes, sorry, yes, 50% yes. Then 33% no. So that was really interesting that when they're asking, would you support it if it meant zero waste? It was a yes. Would you support it if it meant with less waste importation? No. And would you support it just point blank, period? No. So that was really interesting to understand, like, the priorities of the public are more, like, the priorities of less waste are larger than the priority of saving some tax money, which are those other two that it's implying that they don't want to do that. So that those answers all together really further suggested our main kind of finding from this. And now there's a lot of findings from this, but our main finding that I personally think can go into future policy changes with EPR was that increased government responsibility and increased manufacturer responsibility in this scenario.
From what you were saying, where do you think that we're going now? We have this information. Yeah. We've talked about, you know, using this to further education, to instate some policies. What else do you see happening in the future in terms of the surcharge and lessening our waste impact?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of like side arguments kind of found in this data that I hope we can move forward with and not end here. This is a short policy brief, so we kind of just discussed the main points. But I think that the data can really start conversations about the disposal surcharge being an area where Michigan can do better and align with our neighboring states in our waste stream. And that would mean increasing our disposal surcharge, maybe not to the $5.36 average, but at least $2 or at least a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that A lot of the background research that we did suggested a correlation between an increased cost in waste disposal causing an increased recycling rate. So that correlation between that and the disposal surcharge is not credibly made. We found that, I think, in our correlations that we found, but I can't say that confidently with a backup of like academia on my side because there's not enough research out there. But I think that this is a really good starting point of making that fact credible, and making that correlation kind of a respected thing in academia or in the recycling world. Because I think if we start acknowledging that, then that those policy changes can be made in Michigan. And I think from our research, it suggests that it would increase recycling rates. And that's an assumption. That's not, but that's like, I think if we went forward with this, that assumption would be like accredited. So I think that we should look more into this, basically, is what I'm saying. And then I think another really big thing is with the EPR stuff, is what we were talking about with that suggestion that people would be interested in paying more, perhaps, for zero waste initiatives. I think really opens up the opportunity and opens up the door for a lot more research of what we can really do with these EPR policies and what we can do with holding manufacturers accountable for creating more recyclable materials, even if those recyclable materials costed more. Because I think that this data suggests that people would be willing to pay a little bit more for their products if they were more recyclable. So I think that that's really interesting. And our like from directly from the policy brief are kind of like for the future statements that were made have a lot to do with EPR also. I guess another thing that we could talk about with the EPR research and more saying that this would help with more research of more opportunities of what that could mean, I think relates to our conversations of the Circular Economy Institute and why that would be a helpful thing for the university to have initiated. And I even, my personal kind of connection of people saying they're willing to pay more for their waste services if that meant that the government was spending more on zero waste initiatives. I think a zero waste initiative would be the Circular Economy Institute. So I think that that's something that is interesting to me as someone who's pushing for the Circular Economy Institute and pushing for the Senate Bill 704 or whatever it's going to be called in the future. I think that those policies are something that the public want. And I think that increasing the knowledge of the recycling processes can help close those gaps between desires for better desires for reducing the waste stream, but then also desires not to pay more. To decrease the waste importation, I think if we educate the public more about how much of our waste actually is imported, people might be able to draw those connections more clearly. And I think if we're more transparent about our disposal surcharges and what those mean, because a lot of people don't even know what a disposal surcharge is. And there's also a lot of confusion between terminology, which we discovered when we discussed tipping fees versus disposal surcharges with a landfill operator. I was calling it a tipping fee the entire time. And then we had an interview with the landfill operator who informed us that a tipping fee is what you pay, what the truckers pay the landfill when they drop off the waste. Or if it's like a private landfill and you just bring your waste there, you pay the tipping fee to that landfill operator. That makes sense. But the disposal surcharge is not that. It's what the landfill pays the state. So it is very interesting. There's a lot of confusion, I think, and I think there's a big gap in knowledge
Yeah.
in the public that I think if they had would help progress a lot of the stuff.
Are you working on any initiatives currently or know of any initiatives at the moment that are helping to kind of close that gap and, some sort of like educational campaign or something related to that? Do you know of anything existing?
I think, I mean, Michigan does a lot in education of just like, how do you recycle? I think more than a lot of other states. And so that is good. But I think a lot of what the education needs to come from is less so like the government or like the raccoon stuff that we have, which is helpful and it has been proven to increase recycling rates actually. But I think a lot of it can come from the manufacturers of written guidance, which is something that was selected a lot by the public in this survey when asked what would help you recycle more. And I think that that goes into the EPR stuff a lot. And I know that Minnesota, specifically the Minneapolis area, has a policy that they're pushing through for EPR, and it like requires manufacturers to do certain things or make certain amount of products recyclable or something like that. I'm not super well versed on that specific policy, but I know that there's policies out there with EPR, and EPR is gaining a lot of momentum right now. And considering that we weren't even asking about EPR specifically, and we still got a lot of that shining through in this report, I think that that's the direction that we need to look towards personally. And just see what options we have out there of policy, but also not just policy, but education as well, of just people going out there and saying, we want more education of how can I recycle this? There's a little recycling symbol on it, but how? Because if I throw it away wrong, it's not going to get recycled. So things about that. And that's all falls under EPR, because it's the manufacturer's responsibility to put that label on there. So.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation.
Yeah, of course.
I had definitely learned a lot. And if the viewers are interested in learning more, will this mapper be posted online to our website?
Yes. Yeah, so it's part of the Institute of Public Policy Research. So IPSR, IPPSR. And it's going to be on their mapper grant like page of all the publishments of the mapper program that they have. And so, yeah, it'll be on the IPSR website. It's not up yet, but it will be soon. And they'll have, like, I think they post the raw data on there as well. If not, I'm not sure. Maybe the CCED will post it on our own thing, because I think we can. But if not, I don't know. Yeah, you could just see it on the IPSR website pretty soon here.
Awesome. Well, we'll probably post it on our social medias. So stay tuned to our website, our social medias. And thank you for listening.